Now let us look at the elements of employment interview, the biases that an interviewer may have. These include, these are enlisted here, and we'll discuss them in a greater detail in the forthcoming slides. These include elements like stereotyping, inconsistency in questioning, first impression error, negative emphasis, the halo or the horn effect, cultural noise, nonverbal bias, contrast effect, and similar to me error. The first of these includes the stereotyping. Forming generalized opinions about how people of a given sex, religion, or race appear, think, act, feel, or respond is nothing but stereotyping. Inconsistency in questioning is the next error, that is asking different questions of candidates. Let us say for one candidate you ask a specific set of questions, but you are not consistent with the next type of candidate. The next error is relating to the first impression error. Interviewer makes snap judgments and lets his or her first impression, positive or negative, cloud the entire interview. So some people have a great belief in intuition in themselves as judges of people. So they take great pride in, you know, quickly judging a person without giving it a second thought. So this is a critical error when it comes to interviewing. The next type of error is the negative emphasis, which is rejecting a candidate on the basis of a small amount of negative information. So if there's probably a gap in the person's resume, if the person does not arrive on time, just a few minutes here or there, so this can, you know, be a basis for negative emphasis. The next is the halo or the horn effect, wherein the interviewer allows one strong point that he or she values highly to overshadow all information. So this might happen probably if a manager is you know, good in communication. So if he finds that a candidate is really a good communicator, but the job is for operations, some types of operations, still this one particular factor might cloud his perception or thinking. The next is the cultural noise, which is the failure to recognize responses of a candidate that are socially acceptable rather than factual. The next type of bias is the non-verbal bias, which is an undue emphasis placed on non-verbal clues that are related to job performance. Let us say if a person's hands are shaking while he's speaking, or his voice quivers a bit, so you know, or he is sweating. So these are all the non-verbal biases. The next is the contrast effect. Strong candidates interviewed after weak ones may appear more qualified than they actually are because of the contrast. In fact, this happened once when I was in a previous organization. We had a group interview wherein people were quickly interviewed one after the other. There was a bout of weak candidates. There were about 6 weak candidates who were not, you know, it was a technical process interview. Six people who could not even express their thoughts, and suddenly a person who could speak, you know, clearly. So this was a kind of effect that happened. The next is the similar to me error, which is nothing but picking up candidates based on personal characteristics that they share with the interviewer rather than the job criteria. Now let us take a look at the kind of selection tests that are employed in today's interviewing techniques. The first being the aptitude tests. These are the tests that measure whether an individual has the capacity or latent, that is the hidden ability, to learn a given job if given adequate training. Aptitudes can be divided in general and mental ability or intelligence or specific aptitudes such as mechanical, clerical, manipulative capacity, etc. Certain amount of tests are classified again under the aptitude tests, the first being intelligence tests. These tests in general measure intelligence quotient of a candidate. In detail, these tests measure capacity for various elements like comprehension, reasoning, word fluency, verbal comprehension, numbers, memory, and space. So many of the IT organizations in particular have this particular test whenever they are inducting people into the organization. The next type of aptitude tests are the mechanical tests. These tests basically measure the capacities of spatial visualization, perceptual speed, and the knowledge of mechanical matter. So things related to mechanics are measured here. The next is the psychomotor test, which we had mentioned in a previous slide, which are tests which measure the abilities like manual dexterity, motor ability, and hand-eye coordination. So people who are going in for such professions wherein a good amount of dexterity and alertness is required need to undergo these tests. For example, a crane operator or probably somebody who is driving in a public transport, people who take up such jobs are candidates for such tests. The next is the clerical aptitude, which measures specific capacities involved in office work. Items of this test include spelling, computation, comprehension, copying, word measuring, etc. So people who are doing the back office work, which is clerical in nature, administrative work, all need to give this kind of a test. Now we also have achievement tests as a part of the selection tests, which are job knowledge tests. Under this test, a candidate is tested in the knowledge of a particular job. So various questions may be based, various situations might be given for this kind of a job knowledge test. The next type is the work sample test. Under this test, a portion of the actual work is given to the candidate as a test, and the candidate asked to do it. So for example, if the person is to be tested on the fluency of the Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, so probably they might be given a small piece to work on. Probably if the person has mentioned pivot tables or HLOOKUP, VLOOKUP in Excel, okay, linking to database using Access, so he might be given a small project to complete in a given period of time. If the person has mentioned proficiency in PowerPoint, and the job requirement, one of the prime requirements is working in PowerPoint, probably he might be required to create a few PowerPoint related slides and demonstrate them. The next type of selection test is the situational test. This test evaluates a candidate in a similar real life situation. So this test is generally administered to managerial candidates. So managerial candidates are asked, if in this given kind of a situation, okay, your team is performing so and so at such and such, you can say in a such and such position or such and such way, how would you, or what managerial principles would you apply, what leadership attributes would you apply in order to get your team to such and such position, from that position to the desired position. So in this test, the candidate is asked either to cope with the situation or solve critical situation of the job. So in this context, many of the managers of today are asked to provide some non-conventional solutions to a given situation, which are considered more appropriate rather than coping with the situation. These include aspects like group discussion, which is a type of the situational test. This test is administered through group discussion approach to solve a problem, under which candidates are observed in the areas initiating, leading, proposing valuable ideas, conciliating skills, oral communication skills, coordination, and concluding skills. So these are a few of the important skills which are a part of the group discussion. So generally topics, wide ranging topics like microeconomic, macroeconomic, organizational topics are given to the people and they are asked for their opinion. The next type of situational test is the in-basket test. The candidate in this test is supplied with actual letters, telephone and telegraphic messages, reports and requirements by various officers of the organization, adequate information about the job and organization. The candidate is then asked to take decisions on various items based on the in-basket information regarding requirements in the memoranda. So basically there is a file or a folder produced in front of you, or a tray. To give you the exact way it is done, because I have conducted several such tests and also was a part of some assessment centers where this in-basket or in-tray kind of interviewing is done. So it is also called as an in-tray kind of a test, wherein there is a plastic tray kept in front of the candidates, which has these letters, these reports, wherein the candidate can pick from their tray one of those letters and accordingly solve the given problem in the situation. The next type of tests are the interest tests. These tests are inventories of likes and dislikes of the candidates in relationship to the work, the occupations, hobbies and recreational activities. So in this context, the person can select their likes and dislikes. They can give out reasons of doing so, and then these would be analyzed by the interviewers whether they provide a fit to this particular job or not. The next type of tests are the personality tests. These tests prove deeply to discover clues to an individual's value system, his emotional reactions and maturity and characteristic mood. These include subtests or categories. The most important ones are the one is objective test. So most personality tests are objective tests, as they are suitable for group testing and can be scored in an objective manner. They are also categorized as projective tests. Candidates are asked to project their own interpretation of certain standard situations based on ambiguous pictures, figures, etc. under these tests. So people are supposed to analyze and create projections from given figures or statistics or any ambiguous or vague pictures. Now that we've seen the various types of interviews, the various types of selection tests, it is also important to understand what techniques can be employed to succeed at these tests. So an understanding of the purpose of testing goes a long way. Psychometric testing is an important type of testing which has a mix and match of the tests which we had mentioned earlier. So we need to understand the purpose of the testing. Knowing why companies and organizations use psychometric testing can ease some of your possible concerns that the tests are out to typecast or dismiss you. So a lot of people have this particular mental block or a mindset that a selection process is nothing but a filtering process where you are filtered out after you have been recruited. So this is actually not very true. If you focus and if you prepare well, then it's instead of a filtering, it's more of an invitation process. On the whole, the tests are aimed at finding out the most able and best suited persons for a job or a course of study in the most efficient manner. Thus, psychometric testing can be an indicator that there are a lot of applicants for a job and that the employer is seeking to identify the most suitable candidates in the most economical way possible. It is viewed as an efficient way of gauging a potential employee's thinking, ability to be a part of a team, and personal priorities. If you look at it realistically, if you're not the best fit, you're better off not working in this environment. That is the basic logic of testing. So testing predetermines whether you are a right fit in terms of culture, in terms of the aptitude, in terms of the intellect, and in terms of the behavioral characteristic. So without testing, these things would not be understood, and there would be a higher probability of losing reliability and validity of the interview. So it doesn't reflect on your worth as a person. So if you fit the tests, if you clear the test, that means you are capable of the particular environment that you are being interviewed for. In this context, to continue this discussion, let's look at what we want to understand or what we want to expect in the testing environment. Psychometric. Now, psychometric means a psychological kind of a testing, okay, wherein your qualities are tested. So psychometric tests can be given in the potential workplace or on the premises of a business that runs the testing on behalf of the company or the organization. It's essential to read the attendance instructions carefully, and if you don't know where to go, be sure to work it out well in advance rather than turning up late. Also, read any instructions about the test itself with great care and learn what you can about the type of questions, the timing permitted, and the sequences the testing will be provided in. Psychometric tests can be written, that's a pen and paper, or they can be done on a computer, or a combination of both. While most testing will take place seated at a desk, it is also possible to be given psychometric tests while undertaking a workplace task, or even when in a gym or on a running machine. Average testing time for psychometric tests is around 15 minutes, but it varies depending on the extent of tests being taken. Even the timing can be treated as part of the assessment of completion or non-completion of particular tests. If you have a disability that might impact your ability to take the test, let the employer know in advance. They may be able to rearrange the testing process to accommodate your needs. So as you see, the administering of such tests is extremely flexible. In order to succeed at such a test, it's appropriate to dress smartly. You're competing with other people, so we should not forget this particular factor. Every little part of you that suggests you care and are taking this seriously will actually count in your favor. Bring along anything you are asked to bring, including gym clothes if necessary. So this is a very different kind of a testing, a non-conventional way. So if you are asked to bring something along, please do conform on it. Another thing that you need to bring along to the psychometric testing avenue is the attitude. So you need to have the right kind of attitude. This in fact can be hard if you're prone to dismissing the worth or resenting taking psychometric tests. You might harbor personal disbelief or even disgust at the use of such tests to sort through people, but it's about facing the reality that these tests stand between you and a job, not fighting your personal war against using psychology as a corporate tool. Instead, expect to give the tests your absolute best shot by taking the right mental approach and being determined to work hard. So it's essential, as we've seen right through the first chapter, that you need to practice. So psychometric preparation is no different. Here you too need to practice in advance. So for those who have never had psychometric tests or who have been out of formal education for a while, practice can be an important introduction to the things that you will be expected to answer. As soon as you're told to attend for the tests, start practicing. Practice is the best chance that you have for succeeding, especially when you work with materials that are similar to those you'll be tested on. So it is highly recommended that you do a minimum of 20 hours of practice if you can. So if you have enough lead-in time, break up the practice to a few hours a day. As a part of practicing in advance, ask the potential employer for samples of the questions expected. If you receive any, this will give you an opportunity to work out the type of questions you'll need to practice. In this context, it's important, it's extremely vital for the candidates to find different websites, because nowadays you can call the age of the internet. So valuable resources of any kind have been already posted on the internet websites, and psychometric tests are no different. So you will find an ample amount of websites and books that have practice tests. Some even go as far as providing you with a score with the buttons that they have. They store information and they give out or calculate the scores of these tests along with the timing. So do as many as you can before your own testing day. As a part of practicing in advance, it is vital to focus on your areas of weakness. If you're great at spelling and word association but lousy at spotting patterns or number skills, don't spend too much time on the easy stuff. Instead, focus most of your energies on participating in the skills in which you're the weakest to improve them and your confidence. Challenge yourself and push past what you cannot do. Practice will only be effective when you force yourself to do that which you don't believe you can. The next important element is to take the test. Once it is test time, be prepared. Read or listen to the instructions with great care. Avoid feeling pressurized and be prepared to enjoy the experience. So enjoy it as an experience, or try to learn something which is new, which you are not aware of. Try to get an enriched feeling from this. If there are sample questions, use these as a way to warm up calmly. Check your answers and to get a feeling for the layout and style of the questions. So as mentioned in one of the previous slides, the websites on the internet or the blogs can give you a proper, a feel of how the psychometric tests are conducted. Get the best answer down and move on. So you need to trust yourself. You get a better chance to find questions you can answer if you move on rather than spend 2 minutes grinding away on a single problem. Doing that would waste the opportunity of another 6 questions at 20 seconds each. So you need to realize this is a time-bound fashion of answering certain questions. So if you are stuck at one question, if you spend too much time will just pass by and you will be left answering very few questions. So just keep working through, and if you have time left, revisit or come back to the skipped questions. So there needs to be a belief or trust in yourself. Remember that everyone will get something wrong, and it's better to push through to answers in which you excel than to remain stuck in the ones that won't click. The next point is to get a feedback. So whether or not you're successful in getting through to the next stage of the job hunt, ask for feedback on the psychometric test. So if it's a friend you're working with, or if it's a site which does not have solutions, try to get a feedback from somebody. If it's nowadays, there are a lot of sites which provide scores. So along with the scores, try to see what was the reasoning for the solutions, whether it was right or wrong. This can give you important insights into how your personality and aptitude have been perceived and which areas it might be worth concentrating more on. While there are no right or wrong answers in personality tests, there can be indicators of areas in which you would benefit from self-improvement, such as training in ethics or assertiveness. Let's look at certain tips in this context. The first being, don't waste time or energy getting upset with what might appear to be dumb or repetitive questions. The next is, don't panic if you don't finish the tests. They are designed to give results even if you don't answer every question. One of the key limitations or inhibitors for many where they're afraid of is mathematics. If this hasn't been your strong point, relax and keep it simple. Try to pick up tips, tricks and shortcuts and similar ways of solving things. If you're chasing a job, you can't control the interviewer. So, or ask how they, you know, or how they ask the questions, and you can't read the minds of the interview panel or know how they'll read your resume. So this you need to understand. Psychometric test is an indication. It's not you. If you're a creative, artistic person, it's possible that the mathematics and writing tests are not going to show all your best sides. Let's look at a few warnings in this context. If the tests are in English and it's not your first language, you really need to practice. The language can be quite complex and full of confusing double negatives. Slipping into complete psychometric tests during a lunch break might not put you in the best frame of mind if you're suddenly starting to run out of time. So be sure to allow yourself all the time needed. Ask in advance how long you need to be in the present for. If the tests are using USA or UK questions, the wording or the cultural context can be a little strange for people answering in India. So remember, in case of mathematics, it's all about the numbers. So don't be put off by pounds or dollars. Don't rethink the tests. Very accomplished people can have this tendency and therefore fail the test even though they are ideal for the job. Practice answering under pressure more if you find yourself reflecting too much. So there is no time for a lot of reflecting or introspection. You need to give the test in a time-bound manner. Well friends, we've completed this particular chapter, which dealt with the different types of selection tests. In this chapter, we've also seen the broad types of interviews. Okay, we've also seen the various different methods of interviewing, and we've also seen tips of succeeding at what we call as the psychometric tests. Thank you.